And welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Folk. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And joining us from Mercenary Musings World Headquarters in Albuquerque, New Mexico, is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Folk. Mickey, how have you been?
I've been well, Rob, and you?
I've been well also, and I have to say, Mickey, right off the top, the timing of this recording is impeccable because you said we're going to talk about uranium, and boy, oh boy, what a week it has been for uranium, because just today, the owner of the world's biggest uranium mine, Cameco, won a massive tax ruling here in Canada. The stock jumped. Several analysts upgraded their target price for that stock. And earlier this week, the National Court in Japan, Mickey, paved the way for that country's ninth nuclear reactor to restart. And of course, that just plays into the Prime Minister's push to bring dozens of plants back online following that disaster back in 2011.
Well, I do have some comments on that. First of all, it's been, I think, since November since we've addressed uranium. And there's been lots of happenings in uranium space since then. Regarding Cameco, I was aware they had about an ongoing squabble with Revenue Canada, and I think they cleared up some of those tax issues from about 15 years ago, more or less. Mm-hmm. And finally, regarding the Japanese government, Prime Minister Abe is on record, very pro-uranium. The ninth reactor restart is good news. There are eight now operating, mm-hmm. but bear in mind that's from 54 pre-Fukushima. And regarding dozens more starting, to my knowledge, ultimately about 30 plus or minus 30 reactors in Japan have a possibility of restarting. Some of them have been condemned because they're on fault lines or they're obsolete technologies and they have high probabilities of earthquakes and perhaps tsunamis.
And of course, the backdrop to all this, Mickey, has been a real whipsaw that we've seen in the price of uranium. I think over the past 3 to 4 months, we've got the price up about 36%. What's taking place in the market right now?
Well, really what's taking place is production has been cut. Post-Fukushima, taking 50 of 54 reactors operating in Japan offline, had pronounced effects on the demand equation in the world. Plus, Germany at the time shuttered 8 of their, if memory serves, 17 reactors. And so you take that demand off, which amounted something like around 15% of world demand, something like that. Supply did not follow suit. In fact, uranium miners and suppliers ramped up during this period of time with a falling price. So there have been some supply disruptions that have come on in the last few months. Cameco, aforementioned Cameco, shut down the world's largest uranium mine at MacArthur River,
right.
Something around 15% of world production. And the Key Lake Mill was also shut down. They were shuttered permanently in July. Everybody was laid off. And in addition, Kazakhstan, which over the last 15 years has become by far the world's largest producer of uranium, has announced over the next couple of years that it will cut back production 20%. So finally, even though demand has been increasing, supply has been increasing too, and that's going to end.
Right, and you mentioned the MacArthur River operation owned by Cameco, the world's biggest mine. I believe that it has been down since February, and the company just recently announcing that the shutdown is going to be extended for an indefinite duration. So that plays into the prospect of the price, I guess, of uranium going even higher. You know that the CEO of Cameco just returned from a trip to China, Mickey, and that's part of this story, isn't it? Nuclear reactors in China, and he's quite encouraged by what he sees over there.
Well, that is part of the story, but to my knowledge, MacArthur River was shut down last fall. And I'm trying to do the math. It was shuttered for 10 months, and then in July, it was announced that shuttering was permanent for the foreseeable future. So it would have happened, I think, in September of last year. Regarding China, you know, the world is building, as we speak, 57 new reactors, and 157 new reactors are planned, and about half of the build out, a little less, I would guess about 25 of those under construction are Chinese reactors.
Right, right. And I believe this whole situation, Mickey, with the price going up, that we've got a supply deficit building right now in the market. Is that your reading of this?
Well, it is coming. I don't know if we have a supply deficit at the present time. If you do the math, the world produced from mines 161 million pounds of uranium in 2016. It looks like in 2018 that will drop to 135 million pounds. Demand remains very strong. In fact, demand keeps increasing. And in addition to supply increasing from mines, we've also had enrichment underfeeding, which supplies a significant amount of uranium. We've had surplus government sales, specifically the DOE in the United States under the Obama administration would dump 5 to 7 million pounds a year into the spot market. That's ended now. So really, we're undergoing a rebalancing right now.
And we are coming off a very long stretch, Mickey, of prices being depressed. What does that, the price being held so low for so long, mean for the capacity of companies to raise money for future projects? That puts a bit of a crimp into it, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, and I really don't think it's about future projects as much as it's about supply at this juncture. The price went from pre-Fukushima at $72 a pound on the spot price, and long-term contracts, which supply a lot more uranium to the market, but companies really, stocks, equities respond to the spot price, and it dropped as low as $18 a pound in, if memory serves, November of 2016. So now with a price recently of $27.50 a pound, and bear in mind it started going up in mid-April, and it went essentially up, and it started paused at this $27 to $27.50 price. But still, at that price, most of the uranium mines in the world are underwater. There will be no new developments done. In fact, I would guess that MacArthur River won't even come back online until we get something on the order of a $40 price. So $40 is what it costs U.S. ISR producers, about 40 bucks a pound, to make a nice profit.
Right.
Even the Kazakhstan government, which has subsidized its uranium mines, they're losing money at even at this price right now.
Okay. One story that I've come across, Mickey, in doing some research for our conversation, your Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross in mid-July said he was launching an investigation into whether the amount and circumstances of uranium ore and product imports into the U.S., quote, impair national security. And a couple of, a couple of American companies have petitioned the government to put limits on imports, and basically requiring that U.S. utilities purchase at least 25% of their uranium from domestic producers. How much of an impact is that having on the market, or could it have on the market?
Well, it probably is having little impact at this time in terms of other than speculators and traders perhaps entering the spot market on a lot with a longer term view. But
Right. It's
not only the Department of Commerce and the two companies you refer to are Energy Fuels and UR Energy.
That's right.
Both
yeah.
producers in Wyoming, and in Energy Fuels case also in Arizona with a mill in Utah. Here's the deal, Rob. I mean, let's face it, this is a national security concern in the U.S. We get 40% of our uranium from either Russia, Kazakhstan, or Uzbekistan. Those countries are not friendly to the United States. Not only that, but I could argue they are corrupt, in some instance, unstable governments. And 2018, it's projected this year that the U.S. will produce 2% of its total uranium requirements. So, and so it is of national security concern. In addition, we have three other government agencies, four cabinet level secretaries have weighed in on this. Department of Energy Secretary Perry has announced there will be no surplus sales of U.S. uranium stockpiles, at least through 2019. The Department of Defense has expressed great concern because it is required to supply all of its needs from internally U.S. domestic uranium, and that would include a big fleet of nuclear submarines and national security reactors. And finally, the Department of Interior has put uranium on its list of critical metals of national concern. So you get all four of those, plus a president in Trump who is very supportive of the nuclear industry. And bear in mind, it other than renewables, it is the only carbon-free energy source on the planet. 20% of U.S. electrical demand comes from nuclear power plants. And so that means one out of every five Americans, when he turns on a light switch, that's sourced from a nuclear power plant. And in addition, worldwide, more than 10%, almost 11% of world electricity comes from uranium. So it's very necessary for baseload electricity.
Okay, we've had a sharp move higher in the price, Mickey, over a relatively short period of time. Is the foundation in place to at least underpin the price at current levels and give it a little bit more upward momentum?
Well, I think it is well underpinned right now, but it needs to be higher. No one is making very much money at, if they're even breaking even at $27 spot price. And really, the spot price only accounts for about a quarter of demand every year. Most of it is long-term contracts because the most important thing for a utility is, number one, security of supply. And also the price has a lot to do with that. So contracts are ending, especially in the U.S. in 2020, 2021. So all these utilities are going to be going back to the market to negotiate new long-term contracts. So that said, for the lowest half of uranium producers in the world, let's say even the lowest quartile to the lowest 50%, they can't make money even at $40 uranium. So the price needs to go significantly higher before we're going to get out of this quandary.
Okay. At the same time, Mickey, you should buy them when they're down and suffering. Isn't that what they say on Wall Street? Buy when there's blood in the streets. There's no blood in the uranium sector right now. But does this depressed time that it's in present an opportunity if you have a long-term horizon?
Well, absolutely. And I would argue that it is now probably a medium-term horizon. We've seen one domestic U.S. producer, Energy Fuels, more than double its price this year. So people are moving into this space. I am a long-term shareholder of U.S. domestic uranium producers, and I intend to stay a long-term shareholder until this plays out. In addition, there's been some movement in the market with private equity and funds moving into uranium space and There's something called the Yellow Cake Fund, which is a private hedge fund that's holds physical uranium, and it's backed by the Kazakhstan government. That's going to remove 8 million pounds a year from the spot market. And in addition, there's a new North American-based uranium royalty company that's private now, and I expect it to go public as time moves on and the price gets higher. So in my opinion, the uranium industry is primed for speculation with a medium-term horizon at this point.
Okay, nice way to wrap it up. Mickey, thanks very much for this. We'll reconnect in about a month's time.
All right, thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.